You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
And you're hanging out with two divas and a margarita, and I am Diva Tosh.
And I am Diva Cass. I have to say, welcome back. Tosh, you were not here with me last show.
I wasn't. I was there in spirit, though.
You were in spirit, but you were out in some sunny island somewhere.
Yeah. And I'm back. I always tell everybody, if you give me just some blue skies, palm springs, and a little bit of sand, you will have the best version of me possible.
Okay.
So for a whole week, I was the best version of me.
You're the best you.
I was the best
I can appreciate that.
How about you, Cass? I think you were out in some sunshine too, weren't you?
I was out with the fam in Jamaica.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. And I got to give a holler out to all my Jamaican friends that, you know, that I met there. Holla. it was a good time. But I have to tell you a funny story.
Do tell.
So in my resort, we were doing some swim aerobics. So, you know, I'm in the pool, like, I got this, I can do this. So I'm following the instructor and following him, and he hits a backwards flip.
Did you do a backwards flip too?
Everybody in the pool just looked at each other like, I know. He does not expect us.
Was that part of the aerobic routine?
To do this backwards flip. Pretty much, that's when I quit.
You backed out slowly.
Yeah, but it was pretty fun. I do have to also say, what are you drinking today?
Cherry Blonde Bear from the
Falling Down Beer Company.
Did I say it right?
It's the Belgium Cherry Blonde from Falling Down Beer Company.
There you go.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
It took Sarah to tell you because I had no clue.
But I just want to say, Tosh, last time we had margaritas, you were very heavy-handed on the tequila.
Yeah, my apologies.
And we had to sit in the lobby of the studio for like an hour and a half drinking water.
Because we always want to be safe.
I am going to kill her.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, Sarah? How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
I'm good. It's cold.
It is a little chilly.
Like Matt, I was hoping it was going to get a little bit warmer out.
But actually, it's not bad today.
No, today isn't bad.
It's not bad today. So I could actually manage because the sky is blue. So
yeah.
I got one out of my three.
Okay.
I'm cool.
I do want to ask you, what islands did you hit on your cruise?
Oh, my goodness. We hit the Dominican Republic, St. Thomas, which is on my list to go back to, Puerto Rico, which I just love Puerto Rico, and Grand Turks in Turks and Caicos.
Which was your favorite?
So St. Thomas, then it's a tie between Puerto Rico and Grand Turks.
Okay.
And then the part of the Dominican Republic that we shipped or cruised into was an area called Amber Cove, which my daughter was very excited because they filmed Jurassic Park there, and loves Jurassic Park. And I was looking for dinosaurs. Yes, I was, but I didn't see any. But we actually climbed some falls over there, and it was really challenging. It made me realize that I'm not 16 anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reality hits.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
So why don't you tell us about our guest today? We're going to have a guest, right?
Yeah. I'm excited because we have Emerus with us. And I'm sorry. She is the founder of Work-Love Balance, which is a dating service that makes it easy for professionals to establish romantic introductions discreetly and seamlessly without swiping, vetting, or matching.
Okay.
She's also the host of the Mating Game podcast, which is a creative space where she takes a tongue-in-cheek look at dating culture via perspectives from around the world.
Okay.
So we are going to learn a little bit about dating. Maybe I have to find out what I'm doing wrong today. Maybe she can tell me.
She can.
I think she's going to be calling in. Is she there, Emerus?
She's online.
Are you there?
Hello?
Hello. How are you guys?
Okay, you were there, but I think we're getting a little
Can you guys hear?
We're getting some feedback. Wait a minute. What do you think?
I hear you guys perfectly.
Okay, I can hear you as
well.
There
you are. Now you're right there. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. I am living this. So I'm doing really well. I have a couple of me on Instagram live on Instagram.
Okay.
Amorous and Wanderland, and they're going to be joining and listening as well.
Oh, okay. Wonderful.
Welcome.
Well, we definitely want to say thank you for taking the time to join us today. I gave you a little bit of an introduction, but how about if you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do from your perspective?
Yeah. So first of all, thanks so much for having me on Two Divas and a Margarita. I am Amorous Crawford. I'm the founder of Work Love Balance. And I'm also, I'll explain that. That's a dating matchmaking service where I pretty much help people, couples, and clients find matches discreetly and seamlessly without having to vet or do all of that themselves. So it's pretty much a service to make your dating life more seamless. But in addition to that, I'm also the host of the Mating Game podcast, where I talk to a number of different guests about their perspectives on dating. And there are a ton of stories that people have to tell. And my job and my interest is hearing what they have to say and their life experiences and comparing.
Awesome. I would love if today we could talk more about what you do and kind of, you know.
We have a ton of questions. Direction.
Yeah, we are ready for you. So we're going to be flying questions left,
okay.
Right, and center. So why don't we start
cool.
At the beginning and maybe you could share a little bit with us about what got you into the business and what made you move in that direction for your career?
Yeah. So for those of you listening, I pretty much started not in matchmaking. I started out actually as a consultant. So I interacted with a lot of different personalities, a lot of different people. And I also have an anthropology degree. So I've always been interested in culture and how it shapes our relationships. And so I think that really helps me with matching people, because there's this intuitive part of me. But in addition to that, there's also like the academic understanding that I have in my background. Now, as a consultant, I felt a little bit like I was in an ivory tower, and I was working kind of in this corporate silo and wasn't really getting to interact with the people. And so back, I decided to take the plunge, interested in other things, and I had other things to offer. A little bit of soul searching, and when I finally decided, I realized that I love talking about relationships. I love talking about culture, and matchmaking was the perfect fit. So that's how I ended up in the business.
Okay, and how about a dating consultant? Can you fill us in what a dating consultant does? For those who don't know, I think.
Hi, Amorous, are you there?
Yeah, so pretty much what a dating. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we have a little bit of a time lapse. So the reception is cutting in and out. But for, I think, were we able to hear her the last little bit? Okay. Go ahead, Amorous. Sorry about that.
No worries. So what a dating consultant does is two parts. So there's the matchmaking component that I talked to you about, mm-hmm. where I basically help clients and professionals find love. But then there's also the consultant part, which I think really resonates with my clients because they're corporate professionals. And in some ways, I like to consider myself a bit of a recruiter.
Okay.
So my clients come with an idea of what they're looking for. And I pretty much help them to, identify it, shape it, really dive deep into why they're looking for what they're looking for. And then at the end of the day, I go out there and I find it for them. Mm-hmm. So that's where the consultant comes from.
Okay.
You just said something. I have a question from what you just said.
Yeah.
You say that they give you an idea of what they're looking for and you go find it. And I'm just curious, have you ever had a client or clients that you feel are not being realistic in what they're looking for? And do you tell them if you feel like it's maybe unrealistic?
Well, you know, I don't like to use the terms unrealistic. I think it's all a matter of, it's a couple of things. So what I do with my clients is I really help them to identify why they want what they want. Mm-hmm. My job is not to tell, you know, you or anybody else what you want is wrong or that you should modify or change what you're looking for or what you should or what you deserve or what you feel you deserve. Mm-hmm. So I oftentimes in working with me, my clients start to realize what is unrealistic about their expectations. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my job is managing their expectations by showing them what is out there.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people are not necessarily privy to the reality of dating, whether it's in their age group or in their market or, you know, in their income bracket, whatever. So my job is to help them come to terms with that.
Okay. So I have a question, and I don't know what television is like there. Actually, if I could just mm-hmm. go ahead and mention this, you are actually in Sweden.
Is it? Yes, I'm in Stockholm, Sweden.
Well, okay.
Yes.
Before I even ask my question, and you know, if we ask questions that you choose not to answer, please feel free to just go ahead and say I'd rather not address that. But what you were
no,
New York?
Said
it again. We didn't hear you.
No, I said this is the perfect time for me to answer those questions. I mean, I don't think anything should be off the table. So let's just go in. Let's
okay,
do it. Because there are a lot of people listening, and I know that people have these questions, too. So you're kind of the spokesperson for them.
Sounds
okay?
good. Okay, so you were in New York prior to Sweden. What? This is not the question I was diving into, but what took you from New York to Sweden? And why did you choose that part of Europe to make your stopping point?
Well, I chose Stockholm because there was a major opportunity here. A lot of people don't know this, and I probably shouldn't even say this, but Stockholm has almost an equivalent singles rate to that of New York and other large markets. And the culture is actually really unique. So when I was looking at my life and what I wanted out of the future, I always wanted to live in Europe. That was the first thing. I saw a great business opportunity to really transition of my consultancy here. And I also wanted to, I wanted to have a richer perspective when it came to dating. And I thought that talking to different people from different groups and really immersing myself in a different culture would help me with that.
Okay. So with that being said, what have you identified? Are there differences with dating in the U.S. as opposed to dating in Europe? Do you find that the culture is different? What people are looking for is different? Do you find that people are more open, less open?
Yeah, well, I think that's a fantastic question. So the U.S., like Europe, is not a monolith, right? Which basically means that, you know, there's so many different types of people, different groups, different perspectives. So I can only speak at this point for Stockholm. I think Stockholm has a really unique dating culture that is very different from that of the U.S. And I hate to get all academic-y on this one, but from like an anthropological perspective, I would call it like a colder culture than the U.S. People are really nice and they, you know, they will open up, but not to strangers. So coming from a place like New York, where we're not the most open either, we're also much colder than a lot of the country. I found that Sweden is a little bit more on the extreme end of the cold culture, category.
Okay.
So that people don't necessarily talk to people they don't know as freely. However, one thing I do find that opens doors for me is the fact that I'm an American and I have an American accent. And I think I also am very used to, like I said, through my previous experience of being a consultant and, you know, traveling a lot and et cetera, I'm good at opening people up. So it makes it easier to do my job.
Okay.
Go ahead, Cass.
Oh, okay. So when we were talking earlier and you said, you know, culture shapes our relationships.
Yeah, it does.
That is, you know, major because, you know, how do you feel about interracial dating, and how much of a part does culture play in that?
Yeah, so I think interracial dating, so I'm going to speak from the perspective of, you know, the U.S. I think interracial dating is an interesting thing because it's not necessarily the same experience as intercultural dating.
Okay.
And I'll explain, right?
Okay.
So, you know, usually in the U.S., when we think of interracial dating, we think of, you know, black, white, or Latin and black, or, you know, different cultures mixing together, or different races, like physically mixing together, I would say. Interracial dating, I think, is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing, but it can also be tricky. Mm-hmm. I mentioned cold cultures and warm cultures. I've identified in my experience traveling that cold cultures, some of them, or cold cultures, or people from cold cultures tend to work really well together, and people from warmer cultures tend to work well together. And oftentimes, in my experience, matching people in New York City, I found that I could kind of tell what people were into after a while based on where they were from. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to culture, and then you throw in like a language barrier, which I oftentimes find here, even in Sweden, even though a lot of people, I mean, pretty much everybody speaks English in Stockholm. There's still like some nuance that can get lost in the communication. And I've even run into those things in my own personal dating life. So interracial dating, intercultural dating is tricky. You have to over-communicate. That's like the rule of thumb, over-communicate.
Hmm. Okay, that was very educational to me.
sorry.
No, it really was. I have been in interracial relationships, and there is it's just a different background. And you're right, communication is very important. However, I can't say I've been in a intercultural relationship. So that's interesting. What advice would you give to a woman who has been mm-hmm. off the dating scene for a very long time? Or a man, well, a person, anyone, period.
Anybody, period. Okay, so I've actually worked with a lot of people who are divorced, and I'll explain. So I work with people between the ages of 38 and 65. So I work with like a wide range of people with a lot of life experience. For people who are coming out of relationships, so there are categories, right? So we'll start with the people who are coming out of a divorce or a long-term relationship. I would encourage them to take it slow. The dating culture when you were dating back when you were 20, 21 is completely different. We have dating apps. It's much more transactional. I mean, you could send the wrong text message and things could go completely down the toilet. So you want to take things slow. You want to ease yourself into it, possibly start dating through your friends. I think, you know, seeing if there's somebody in your friend group and starting out there and then branching into the dating app life instead of just kind of jumping in cold. Now, if it's somebody who is a little bit older, who has never been in a relationship, and I've worked with people like that too, people who are, you know, in their early 40s, never married, no kids, never done anything too long term or too heavily committed, I think that they are primed for this, the dating app culture, and that they can kind of step into it with a little bit more surety because they have a little bit more practice. So dating with children, that's another aspect of things. I think it just depends on your place in life. And so when I work with clients, I really like to assess those things because they're important. It affects the way that you look at dating in general.
That, you know what, that's true. And that's, I never really thought to break it out into all those different categories, but it really does make a huge difference.
Yeah, there are levels to this.
Absolutely. So now with your business, does your business come with an app that people could work with? Or do you work more with the face-to-face type concept?
I like face-to-face. Yeah. So I don't dissuade people from using apps. I think apps can work for people. It just depends on who you are, depends on your market, depends on, you know, your stage in life. That's another thing. It also depends on socioeconomic status. And I think people don't necessarily think about that when they just kind of jump on an app.
Right.
But all of those things matter. At the end of the day, I personally do not love apps. It doesn't mean that apps don't work. It's just, I personally love face-to-face contact. I love phone contact. Yeah. I like, you know, really getting into the swing of a conversation with someone as opposed to, oh, look, I'm going online and I'm going to shop. It doesn't mean that physical attributes don't matter. But at the end of the day, I like the in-person, which is why I'm matchmaking and consulting and working with people, you know, and partnering with them to really find that person.
So in a sense, you could say that you kind of stick more with the old school concept, which I feel always works.
Which was exactly what I was going to ask. Yeah. Digital dating versus traditional dating. Obviously, you tend to lean more towards traditional dating.
Well, I personally tend to lean towards traditional dating, and the clients that I work with are, of course, leaning more towards a traditional model because right. matchmaking isn't new, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But digital date culture, I mean, I don't want to negate the relevance there. And I also don't want to negate the fact that that is the future. Yeah. That's how we're dating right now. And I was reading some stats on this, and I'm going to get them completely wrong, so I won't even quote them, but a lot of relationships are starting on dating platforms. People, you know, are swiping on the toilet and meeting the love of their life. So have at it. Go out there and find that person. But I just want to be, the way that I like to work, I think, is just a little bit more slow and a little bit more methodical.
Right.
When it comes to this.
Well, I think a lot of that can be said because you kind of mentioned a little bit about the clients that you work with, the age group that you work mm-hmm. with. So I would want to believe that traditional works better with, you know, people of that age group that you mentioned to us earlier. Let me ask you this, and I hope this is not getting too personal, but do you get a lot of requests for same-sex relationships? And how do you work with that? Would it be the same as, you know, people in a man-woman type relationship? Can you comment a little bit in that area?
Yeah. So your question was, how do I work with people who are same-sex, who yes. are looking for same-sex relationships?
Yes.
Yeah. So I've actually worked with a couple of people who are looking for same-sex relationships. I personally have been in a same-sex relationship, so I have experience there.
Okay.
When I work with people in that who are looking for that specifically, I think there are a lot more nuances related to that. More specifically, when it comes to men, their sexual preference that needs to be taken into consideration, which I do take into consideration with my heterosexual clients, but I find that there is more. There's more of a nuance and there's more specificity that comes with that. When it comes to, I've even had someone who was polyamorous who was looking for not his primary partner, but was looking for a secondary partner. So it gets really complicated. sexuality is complicated, relationships are complicated. And I think the most important thing is really it's understanding the client, understanding their perspective when it comes to matching. And I don't think, to go back to your question, I don't think there's necessarily too much difference in what people are looking for at the end of the day. We're looking for, you know, a partner, a match, or somebody who's going to complete that or fulfill that desire that we have.
Right. Do you follow up with your clientele once they believe that they have found that one, and just to see what the success rate of the relationship is, like maybe a year
absolutely.
Or two down the road?
Yeah, absolutely. So I actually follow up a month after, because what I do is I set up introductions for people. I follow up with them after a month just to see if things are going still, going strong. I've had a couple of marriages as a result of my matching. So I'm really proud of that. And I've had a couple of long-term relationships too. I think at the end of the day, the follow-up is really important. I am not here to just say, okay, here you go, here's the person, and, you know, go have fun. However, I also want to be clear about what I don't do. I don't meddle. And I think that there's a fine line between creating the connection, mm-hmm. but allowing, you know, kicking people out of the nest, allowing them to fly. And I will never, once I think things are going really well and the relationship is going positively, I will retreat and I will leave people alone. I have people who have not even invited me to their weddings because they like the anonymity, they like the discretion, and that's what I offer. My job is not to, take the credit for for matching you. Right. Like I don't want that necessarily. That's not what I'm in this for.
Okay.
I have a question for you, Amherst. We talked about dating at an older age somewhat, do you recommend that people with children date other people with children or in the same place in their lives? Is that a better mm-hmm. match?
Okay. So I think it's less about, you know, matching whether he has kids and you have kids and if they're of the same age. I think it is important to be at the same stage of life.
Okay.
So if you're older and you have children, or let's say you're older and you have older children, right? Oftentimes you're not looking for somebody who has a baby,
no.
you know, who is recently out of a relationship or, and, you know, has a 3-year-old or someone who wants children. So
yeah.
when I'm matching, I absolutely take that into account. It's really important to make sure that people are there. It's lifestyle too. There's a lifestyle component to matching that I think is essential, you know? But at the end of the day, to answer your question, yeah, like I think it is better to match stage of life as opposed to just, oh, he's cute or, mm-hmm. you know, he lives in the neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I think this discussion is actually going really, really good. But we are going to take quick 5-minute break. Amherst, I hope you don't mind that. So don't go anywhere. And we'll be back right after this one quick song.
Awesome.
And welcome back to Two Divas and a Margarita. I'm Diva Cass.
And I am Diva Tosh. And today we are talking to Amherst, who is a professional dating consultant. And Amherst, are you still there with us?
I don't know. I think.
Hello? Amherst, can you hear us? Okay, she might have stepped away for a quick...
We'll give her a minute to get back on the line here.
Right. And in the meantime, I think the show is actually going really good. I don't know about you, Cass, but I am definitely learning stuff.
Exactly. You know, there is an art to dating, which I guess there's an art to anything. And if you want to do it well, you probably need to call in a professional.
Hey, but you know what? You actually said that really good. I never looked at dating as an art.
Yeah.
That's...
I've been doing it wrong.
Yes, I have been too. We got to get that 101.
Yeah, exactly.
Dating 101.
Yeah, we have to get it together.
But to hear it from a professional's perspective and somebody who is looking at it in a whole bigger picture than what we're looking at it in,
yeah.
You know, it kind of puts a lot of things into perspective.
Kind of puts a lot of things.
I really like how she described modern dating.
Can you guys
really? She's back.
Yeah, we're having some feedback.
I really liked how she described modern dating, though, as transactional, because I think that's a really, really good way to describe, like, my age group's
mm-hmm. yeah.
dating. It is very transactional. It's, you
wow.
know.
Well, why don't you share a little bit about what you mean by transactional?
It's very much like, what are you putting in? What are you getting out of?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's... very mm-hmm. cold and not so much about dating. It's more about appearances and what you're getting out of.
Wow, really? Yeah. At you know, in your 20s, that's what it's about now?
Yeah, it's not like about having fun or like, you know, it's really kind of sad. It's very, it just is very cold and transactional like that.
Well, you know what? Even to add to that, Amaris, she said something that really kind of struck me. And she said, you know, it's not just about, you know, like sitting on the toilet and swiping to the left. You know?
And, don't be responsible.
Wait, say that again. Are you there?
Hello?
Okay, I think we're just trying to bring the connection back from Sweden to Michigan. But, okay. Well, I'm sure it'll come back eventually.
Can you hear me?
Okay, yeah, there you are. Yeah, we went away for a while, but I think you're back. Okay, I think we're back online.
Yeah, back,
Okay, well, you know what? If I asked this question already, and I'm asking it a different way, please forgive me. But you did mention that you you were in the consulting business, or you are in the consulting business. But what made you go in the direction of the dating consulting business as opposed to any other, you know, any other type of business? I think we lost her again.
We still have a connection.
Yeah. No, I'm still here.
Okay. Okay, you're back. I don't know if you, were you able to hear my question?
I can hear you really well.
Okay. Yeah, so what made you want to go in the direction specifically of dating consulting?
As I can hear your question. I
You're not coming through. How close are you to the microphone?
I think we lost her.
So good before. And that's really. So here's what I'll do. Yes, so I chose to be.
Okay. Sorry, we
were. You guys hear me because I can hear you really well.
It's really choppy.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of feedback.
Hold on. I don't know.
Something different happened from before the break to after the break.
This whole conversation.
Could you try possibly calling back?
No, I don't hear you.
She can't hear.
Okay. I'm going to call you back. How about that?
Actually, we just heard that. That we heard that
great.
Really good. Okay.
Yeah, that was so cool. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. It's so good. Like when we said that, it's like I have connections all the time. It's really annoying. So okay. I'm going to answer the question because I heard it when you answered.
Okay.
You
asked. Go ahead. I think we're back now. Yeah, that's okay. System took a little break, but I think it brought us back together now. Kind of.
Awesome. Okay, awesome. Well, the reason why I decided to go into dating consulting,
we lost her again.
Okay,
I think she should call back.
Okay,
let's try that.
Can you hear me?
If you could hear us, okay. Can we try and hang up and call right back into the system?
All right, I'll try calling back.
Okay, great. Thank you. In the meantime, Kaz, what are you getting taken away from this?
Just that things are a lot different these days. And dating is different. Yeah. I know it's definitely different for me than when I was in my 20s.
Do you think dating is different, or do you think that as we get older, we're looking for different things?
That too. But everything is different. Times are changing.
Oh, God, yeah.
Things are different. And what you're right. What we looked for, first of all, you didn't in your 20s. It was just so easy.
Because I don't think we knew what we were looking for.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where did you guys go and meet people in your 20s? I'm just curious.
And where did we go?
Yeah.
Well, like, we didn't have cell phones. So we went out a lot, mm-hmm. Like to parks, clubs. I didn't do a lot of clubbing, but most people went out to clubs. Your neighborhood just, well, I think men approached you more than two. You know,
yeah,
you know weren't. They would come right up to you.
People my age, we don't go places to just hang out,
like bowling alley, movies with your girlfriends,
sometimes.
And then you run into people downtown. Was a big one for us here in Detroit, and I mean Belle Isle.
Oh,
just being
back.
Honest.
And actually, I was just the opposite. I did hang out in a lot of clubs, Sarah. No, I'm not saying I'm proud of that, but I was probably in a club 4 to 5 days out of the 7 day week. And that's pretty much where I met people.
That's a lot.
Because I was out there dancing all the time.
See, yeah, I feel like people my age rely so much on meeting people online.
Well. Oh. Okay, so I'm going to try to talk right into my mic. Can you hear me, Amherst?
I can hear you guys really well. It's like whenever I start the call, you guys are awesomely, like, it's great. It's a great connection.
Yeah. And we have a really good connection right now that you called back. So thank you for doing that.
So we're going to get back to questions before it gets bad again.
Yeah. So let's start off. Let's go back to the question that I did ask, because if you did answer it, we apologize. We didn't hear anything. But why dating as far as your consulting business? Why not interior design, or, you know, I'm just kind of pulling things out of the air. What made you choose that direction specifically?
Yeah, so the reason why I chose like dating consulting, so I got to a place in my career where I was kind of feeling a little disillusioned by the work, and I wasn't motivated, and it just didn't feel like it was fulfilling. You know, I felt like I was missing the people. Yeah. And what I used to do actually had nothing to do with dating or relationships. I was relationship building mm-hmm. in a corporate environment, which is a completely different experience, you know. Long story short, I took a break, and I stopped working in that environment and really asked myself what I wanted to do. And as I was doing that, I was actually flitting around Europe with this guy that I met, this Italian who I think offered me some perspective to some degree,
okay.
The experience at least. And as I was rounding up that experience, I started to just kind of think about the things that I loved, you know, when I did research on gender, sexuality, and body politics, when I was studying anthropology, when I was building relationships with my clients, as opposed to just, you know, doing the Excel spreadsheet thing and crunching the numbers. And so that's kind of how I came to matchmaking. I put it all together and was like, you know what, you enjoy talking about this. And I did my own research and found this niche area.
Okay. Brought me to a question. You said you were in Europe. You're dating an Italian guy. So I just wanted to ask you a little. Have you heard of the show To Rome for Love?
Yeah, I have. But I've never actually watched it. I haven't watched it, like, all of it. I've only seen little clips.
Okay. So you know the basis of the show. African-American women going to Rome to meet Italian guys or European guys. So let me just ask you this, because you have personal experience with it. And I have seen the show, and the men are very, very charming. And these women seem to be having a little more luck there than here in the States. So what is your perspective on that?
Well, on the show Italian Men, you know, which one?
well, I just think that the women are either they think they'll have better success in Europe than here in America.
Okay.
And is that true? Do you believe that is true as well?
You know, okay, so I'm going to put this into perspective. So I think that America has a long way to go when it comes to race in general. Okay.
I would agree.
That's interesting.
Okay. So my experience dating in Europe has always been a little bit easier because of that. I think they just have a different experience. It doesn't mean that they don't have their own issues. They don't have their own hangups. And I've even heard that in parts of Italy, it can be a little bit difficult to be a person of color. Frankly, it's difficult to be a person of color, I think, in a lot of countries that are more Eurocentric to some degree, right? So let's start there. With that said, I personally have had a much more successful experience dating in Europe. I think that there is less emphasis on maybe the fact that I am Black. Mm-hmm. And even though the culture isn't necessarily the same, because remember, different parts of Europe produce different types of people. So please note, I'm not saying that Europe is a monolith. I want to be really clear about that, but I have experienced more success when it comes to a connection based on who I am and less about the race. However, I have also run into experiences here that have been unsuccessful, but for other reasons, you mm-hmm. know? So I don't want to make it seem like everything is all gold and, you know, amazing over here either. So, culture is important. Let's just say that culture and perspective is important.
Okay.
I have a question, and this might get a little personal, but with you doing what you're doing, you are a dating consultant. Do you find that you use some of the rules that apply with you matchmaking to your own personal life? If that makes sense.
Well, I just to own rules, you know, and when I hate to say rules. Yeah. Like I hate to say rules, to be honest, because there are no rules. Everybody's relationship is going to function the way it's going to function. I do think that if you're looking for a certain thing though, at a certain way, my perspective on it. So, with that said, it depends when I'm working with a completely different experience because they're telling me I want that. And I'm saying, okay, well, here is the strategy that we can use to get you. Now, everybody doesn't want the type of person or the same type of thing or the same type of lifestyle. Counsel, like I have moments where I feel as though I could have done something better and I can think of plenty of them. But at the end of the day, because I see so many areas and I see so many dating experiences, mm-hmm. I think I am privy to a lot.
Mm-hmm. Hello, it's a little choppy again.
So I hope that answers your question. Like, yeah, I guess I.
Okay. I think we lost you on the last part of that question. That's okay. Let us.
Question?
Okay, let us know. Can you hear us okay?
No.
Okay.
I can.
Yeah, it's okay. We lost you the last part.
It's such a good conversation, and you know, unfortunately, we are having a few technical difficulties. So, all our listeners, please bear with us. Amherst, thank you so much for being a good sport and calling in and answering our questions. So we're gonna. I'm sorry.
She said, I think she was trying to do something on her end to hopefully clarify.
Here's what I'll do. I have another line. I'm going to try that.
Okay. Okay. Maybe where I'm going wrong is I need to go to Italy.
Well, you are.
I am. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, when are you going to Italy?
I am going in September.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I'm very excited.
That's
about
a good time
that.
To go to Europe.
It's going to be my first time. First time going to Europe. So I am.
Are you just going to Italy or are you going anywhere else?
No, it's going to be Italy.
Is this good?
Yes.
Yeah, you sound great.
You sound great.
Okay. Hello. I'm using I have a million phones. So I'm going to try this one and see if this works.
Yeah, this one's good.
So far, so good.
I have a question, Amherst. What would you tell a person who is trying to find a good work-love balance? Because we do work a lot, and you work hard, and in order to have a relationship, I mean, that's something you do have to put some work into as well. So what advice would you have to finding that good work-love balance that you talk about?
Yeah, I think the first thing is prioritization. If you're a busy person with a busy schedule and, you know, you have the kids, I don't know what stage you're in your life, but if you have the kids and you have the dog and you have, you know, all the appointments and whatnot, you have to prioritize finding someone, because otherwise you're not putting that emphasis enough on really going out there and getting the person that you want. That's the first thing. I have had a lot of people who have just kind of relied on my guidance or, you know, my effort. And of course I can find you the person that you want, but at the end of the day, you have to keep them, you know, you have to make the time. Mm-hmm. So that's primary prioritization and making the time for someone else in your life. When it comes to the actual search, I think it just depends on who you are. You know, as I said before, socioeconomic status, lifestyle, stage in life are things that are very important. Age, you know, location, all of those things, I think are very important to just getting off the ground in a relationship. Things like, you know, hobbies and interests, I think are important too, but I believe that those are secondary, in a lot of ways to the real meat of what makes a relationship work, you know? So, prioritization and making sure that you're making the time for that person is important.
So even if you're home from work and you're very tired, you have to find the time to put into that relationship, even if you don't feel like it that day, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, they say it takes work. Let me ask you a question, because I know we are almost at our wrap-up point, but if you could do anything different up until the point that got you from New York to Sweden, is there anything that you would change about your journey?
Ooh, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. And the thing I would say is I wish I had done it sooner. I spent a lot of time. Yeah. I wish I had done this maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, as opposed to, you know, a couple of years, you know, I wish I had done this when I was like early 20s, but I also understand that I wouldn't have had the same perspective and the same amount of experience to have done this. So, you know, it's kind of one of those chicken and egg situations. What I would say is I wish, yeah, like time is an interesting thing for me. And I'm always thinking about like, how can I maximize my time? How can I really achieve a goal in the most efficient way possible? And that's something that I wasn't necessarily thinking about when I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I wish I had done this sooner, because it's been a really rewarding experience working with all of these people.
So if any of our listeners today want to get a hold of you and utilize your services, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so definitely check out my website. It's www.work-lovebalance.com. And in addition to that, they can find me on Instagram, Amorous in Wanderland. So that's kind of an easy way to find me.
Absolutely.
Okay. I have a question. If you could narrow it down for us, give me one of the main things that men and one of the main things that women ask for when they come to you. What's the top thing that you can think that sticks out in your head that they're saying, I want this in a relationship or in a person?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my women are looking for, I work with really successful women. They're looking for somebody on their level. That's what they want. They want someone who is, of course, going to be tender and kind and compassionate, but they really want lifestyle matches. That's important to them. When it comes to my guys, and I hate to say this because it always makes them look a little bit more vapid, but they do want someone who takes care of themselves. And that's really important to men in the markets that I work in. And I work primarily in the U.S., so I can't speak for a lot of other markets, but in the U.S., men really, that's like one of the the main things. And of course, someone who is self-sufficient, someone who has their stuff together, but they always talk about taking care of herself. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's, I think it's also the type of clientele I tend to work with. They are very successful people. They're high income earners, and they expect a certain thing because they too, you know, they bring a lot to the table. So yeah, those are the two things that I see a lot of or hear a lot of.
Actually, you just touched on something. So are you, even though you're there in Sweden, I'm assuming based on what you just said that your clientele comes from all over the world or mainly from the U.S.?
Yeah, so mainly from the U.S. I've worked with a number of clients in a couple of countries here in Europe, but most, I would say 95% of the people that I work with are in the U.S. So my service is there, but I would love to branch out and do much, much more work here in Europe. And that's part of the reason why I'm here right now.
Okay.
I think we have to wrap it up. I would love to ask more questions, and maybe we can do a part two down the line because, you know, the hour just goes by so fast, and you've been so great to answer these questions. But our engineers over here, she's giving us the 5-minute countdown over here. So again, just shout out that information one more time, Amaruz, for anyone who wants to contact you.
Absolutely. It's work-lovebalance.com and it's amorousinwanderland.com. And I'll also, you know, I can also send you the information so you can put it in the show notes. Okay. I appreciate talking to you.
Oh, same here.
This was really fun too. And thanks so much for inviting me.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. And again, anyone listening out there, you can always reach us on Facebook, Two Divas and a Margarita. We also have a website, twodivasandamargarita.com. Follow us. And if you need to email us, our contact information is there as well. Thank you, everyone who tuned in today. We surely had an interesting show.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot.
I learned a lot, too.
And we're going to sign off now and say thank you for being with Two Divas and a Margarita. Have a great weekend.
Awesome. Bye, guys.